Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Giovanni, and I'm here to introduce you to our new show on Soul Sister Radio, PTH, with Corrine Walton, Prayer That Heals. Corrine, welcome back to the show, and it's all yours. And if you don't mind, we have some new guests who are logged in, and this is their first time hearing the show. So go ahead, reintroduce yourself, and let everybody know what your show is about, because that song was chosen for you because it's all in your mind on where heaven is. And I know that you have the keys, my beautiful friend, on letting us get a better thought in order to clear the passage in order for us to be able to live in heaven here on earth. Corrine, TTH, it's all yours.
Wow, what a beautiful introduction, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. The song is quite poignant because I know and want to share that the kingdom of heaven truly is within and not without. And to try to go outside of yourself to fix any kind of problem that we face today is futile, and that the answer truly lies within. And by within, I mean by a change in your consciousness or in your thought. I was wondering about what a timely topic would be for today's show, and Maria and I were talking about the bombardment that we're all facing currently in the media about the flu season. And I don't watch that much media for a reason that I will share in a moment, but I happened to turn on the radio and it hit the regular radio, not XM radio, and the only sentence that I heard the woman say was, "The flu season has come so much earlier than predicted." I just quickly shut that off. We see the pharmaceutical companies and the medical field and mass commercialism is sending out pictures and messages of, you know, that this is coming. It's inevitable. You will suffer. You must take acts to protect yourself and your loved ones. Shots are in order. Clinics are available. I mean, and they put these pictures of people who are just miserable, and it incites so much fear. That's the first thing we all feel, right? That's the first reaction we have. Oh, my gosh. I don't want that. What can I do? And we feel fearful, and that engenders a sense of helplessness. And I'm here to share with you that we don't have to be sick because the television tells us we must. We do not have to buy into the proposition that says, will you believe in a fallen and sick man? Will you believe that God sent sickness to his beloved children? Will you believe that man is anything other than the beloved, perfect, holy offspring of God? And most of us, not having the tools, we buy into it, we're fearful, and whatever comes, comes. And you hear all the, oh, I've been in bed for 2 weeks, etc. Okay. So let's go back to a little bit about what we spoke about last week, which was what God is. And we spoke about the seven synonyms or names that we use interchangeably for God, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, and principle. And we also know from the scriptures that God is all-powerful and always present, filling all space. And it's good to start. We always, always start whatever situation we face ourselves with, we always begin at the first step. God is good. God is all. God created man is in his image and likeness. Therefore, man reflects and is all that God is. And God is all powerful. And when we realize that God is all powerful, then where is there a place for fear? There is no place for fear. We stand with our Father, Mother, God, who does not send sickness to his child. And we take comfort and refuge in knowing that God is an all-powerful God. I want to liken the word throughout the scriptures. There is a spiritual interpretation in every story. I mean, all those Bible stories are wonderful, and there's a spiritual lesson and lots of symbolism used in all those stories. And throughout the Bible, the term dwelling, abode, home is used. And I want you to start thinking in the terms of a home being your consciousness. And I mentioned last week a nifty little, I don't know what you would call it, but it's HC equals HE, meaning human consciousness equals human experience, okay? We spoke about how everything at its most basic level is thought. You can cut matter down into molecules and atoms, and it comes down to vibrational energy, and the physicists are now saying that they even agree that everything is based on thought, and what we think takes form into what we are and what how we live and what manifests itself as our lives. So it talked about in the Bible the strong man in his home and how, you know, the thief doesn't announce what hour that he's going to come and rob the man in the house. And what Jesus is talking about is basically standing as a porter at the door of your thought. If your consciousness is your experience, think about how important, I mean, nothing is more important than standing guard over the thoughts that you take in to your mind, what you think about, what you dwell on, what you repeat to yourself, what you say to yourself is crucial because it's going to take form as your experience. And so as we admit certain things into our thoughts, we will experience those things. There is a woman by the name of Mary Baker Eddy, and I would like to just provide two quotes that she gave when she was talking about contagion. She said, "A calm Christian state of mind is a better preventative of contagion than a drug or any other possible sanative method." That calm Christian state of mind, when you get quiet and you understand who and what you are and the God that you reflect and the dominion that you possess, and that anything that is unlike God is that suppositional lie, that thing that comes in and says, will you believe in this? And if you can take a firm stance, no, my God did not create this. My God does not send this to his beloved child. It has no foundation. It has no author. It has no power because my God is all power. It's knowing these truths that ejects the lie from your consciousness. And when you truly do understand that, the effects or manifestation of contagion or cold or whatever it is, whatever that lie is, falls away from your experience. The other quote that I wanted to share has to do with that standing porter. And a porter is someone that stands at that door and it'll open for you, sort of guarding over the building in case somebody isn't familiar with that term. She says, "Stand porter at the door of thought, admitting only such conclusions as you wish realized in bodily results. You will control yourself harmoniously." So again, what you allow in is what's going to take effect. I wanted to share a quick testimony with you, if I might. I went on vacation with my family this past summer. We were out on the lake on a boat, and I had what people would, you know, a severe cold, the runny nose, and the upper lip was raw for paper towels, and I was getting so discouraged because I was on vacation and this was ruining my vacation. And boy, I went right down the line with that lie. I bought it and I thought about it and I commiserated with it and I had sympathy with it. And I said, no, I'm out here on a boat and I'm on vacation and I'm not going to be, you know, disillusioned by this lie. And I started working with the principles that I've been taught. And it was that evening that the sun was setting, and we were in the most beautiful cove. And my daughter, the water was like bath water. It was warm and beautiful. And I was looking at my daughter, and she was out there on this little inner tube just bobbing along. And she looked at me, and she says, "Mom, this is just pure perfection." And immediately my mind said, "Yes, yes, all is perfection." And it immediately, not just over a couple hours, immediately, no runny nose, no cold, no discomfort, no achiness, and even the rough upper lip and the redness of the skin, which, you know, humanly speaking, should take some time to heal, instantaneously gone. Something I'm just very grateful for. But, you know, there was the lie of the cold. And I could have, you know, gotten my Kleenex and gone down that whole road with it. And, oh, this poor me, and it should take 4 or 5 days, and I'll be back, and it'll be okay. But I took a firm stance, and the truth was made known to me, just this little statement by my daughter, and I got in line with it, and I supported it, and I just agreed with it firmly. And that's what did the trick. And so something that immediate and that noticeable and provable, I know that this is a science, and it's provable, and it works, and it heals, and that the basis for it stems from getting your thought in line with what is already true. It is so important that we don't get stuck into thinking that we are an imperfect mortal or human trying to become perfect, but to always start and know that you are the perfect spiritual child of God, possessing all the qualities that God has and gives to us by reflection. And then working from that standpoint outward, that's how the healing comes. And to take that firm stance and just refuting the lie oftentimes brings about instantaneous healing. It's very, very exciting. Now, other people will say, "Well, look at all the numbers of the people getting sick. How can you refute that a cold is real? And look at the numbers. And you know, this is happening for years, and it's repeating." And what I can say to that is, we're walking around in a dream state of where we agree that there is another creator other than God, that man himself is a creator of a mortal body, that we are sinners and sinful and sinning and sick and dying and diseased and suffering all sorts of maladies from a power opposed to God. And in that, it looks real. But, you know, Copernicus said Earth was not the center of the universe, and that they had this belief that the world was flat, and a different perspective showed that that isn't true. And back then, they would have been laughed and scorned at. Christian Science and this whole science takes a look at something from a different spiritual perspective that doesn't stand on the same plane with the material and start with the material and try to argue out. It stands from a spiritual standpoint, and that's the basis of how it starts its argument. Jesus healed leprosy, which was the worst form of disease in his day, and walked on water in contradiction to all the laws, you know, of gravity. He plowed right through them and robbed the grave of its victory, you know, proved that life is indeed deathless. So to the one that says, "Well, look at the five senses," I'm saying the five senses are the liar. They're the perpetuator of the material dream state. But that spiritual sense is the truth. It delivers the true message about who you are in the image and likeness of God. And holding to that in your thought brings about harmony and health in your experience. Maria, are you still there? Hello? I think we may have lost Maria.
No, I'm here. I'm just on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounds computerized. Did you say that there was somebody else that wanted to chime in, or was there...
Actually, I was waiting to see if she was going to be able to call, and she hasn't been able to call in yet. So let's go ahead and take a commercial break, and then we'll come back, and you have about 8 minutes left, and we'll be right back.
Great. Thank you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
All right, you are back.
Hi, Maria.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to touch a little bit more upon the your house or your consciousness, just because that is truly so important. When we don't stand firmly as porter at the door of our thought, various lies in various forms can enter in, and it can be so, so subtle or something very blatant as, it's flu season, go get your shot. The mortal mind, I like to call it, or the serpent, will come to you in the guise of your own thoughts sometimes. These thoughts will come in, and we have to be very, very careful about what's real and what's not real. Sometimes these thoughts have taken place and root in our consciousness already, and that's why we experience some of the problems and issues that we seem to hear. And that prayer from the basis of what I've shared, starting with, you know, that God is love and that we are the image and likeness of that love, and that love is guarding and guiding us and doesn't ever leave us and cares about us and knows us. Those kinds of truths and affirmations will uproot and reveal to us what we've taken in that's erroneous. The more that we focus on love and being loving, something unloving in our thought becomes so foreign to us that it's kind of like it's highlighted. And it's, okay, this doesn't fit. This isn't right. So preventative means we stand porter at the door and we don't allow it in. We recognize it as erroneous. It's the lie, and we refute it based on truth. And I'm mentioning the ones that have already come into our consciousness. We say, well, what about that? And I say, pouring in flood tides of love removes whatever is false or error in your thinking, okay? It's not like a needle in a haystack. It's just the more loving and God-like and God-centered thinking that you have, anything unlike that quality will become so obvious that you can then eject that from your consciousness. And a lot of healing happens that way. That's very common in the area of relationships and employment, things like that. So wherever there's an area of your life that seems broken or hurting, you know, there's so many great truths, and a great way to start is by talking about what God is and then what man is as his image and likeness. And next week, what I plan to do is talk about, we've spent a great deal last week on God, God's qualities and what those are and what that means. But now we're going to talk about man as God's image and likeness. We're so used to boxing in what we think of man. I'm 5'11", I weigh this much, I have blonde hair, blue eyes, I'm a lawyer, I'm a mom. No. That's what the material senses would depict. That's the way the world would describe you. But when you can realize what you really are as a child of God, so much freedom comes, and there's a new way to think of yourself that brings about healing in all areas and avenues of your life. So I hope that you will join us next week and call in with any questions or comments that you have, but next week's show should be pretty good about knowing and recognizing and thinking of yourself on a spiritual basis and not material with faults and limitations. So at any rate, I just wish to thank you for chiming in and letting me be part of this. Looking forward to getting back with all of you next week. Thank you so much.
Well, Corrine, you actually have 4 minutes left, so we can talk a little bit more.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought my clock shows me I've got about 2 minutes. I apologize. Okay.
Well, you've got 4 minutes. And again, I want to thank you for choosing Soul Sister Radio to have your show produced here. And I was talking to one of a friend of mine today who I was hoping was going to be able to call in. And she experienced a miraculous healing all on her own. And so I know that I know that I know all the years that you and I have been together. The truth is the truth is the truth. And I'm excited that you get to share it on this platform, that you get to use this opportunity to speak the truth to a whole new set of listeners. And it was the same yesterday as it is today. And Christ came for us to be able to do exactly what he did here, and he healed people. So like I said to you a long time ago and when I met you, and the thought that always crosses my mind whenever I think about the coaching that you do is when the doctor comes in and says, we've tried everything. All we have left to do is pray. And I always think, well, heck, we should have done that first. So
right.
I'm excited that you have chosen this platform to share this. And like I said, you've got about 3 minutes if you want to share a little bit more and actually share why you're so passionate about this type of healing for especially women who have gone through abuse.
Well, I do have a deep passion for sharing this only because I can see that, I mean, from what I have seen and experienced myself and witnessed the healings in others, and then you see so much suffering, it's like watching beloved children, you know, that you care about walking around in a darkened room, and you realize you can just lean over and flip the light switch and help the situation. I feel, you know, there's a love, there's an obligation, and it's not just a passion. I mean, I really, really want to. It's like having something special, and you want to share that to alleviate the suffering of the people around you. And I also feel that there's an obligation, something that somebody has a good message. You know, you need to help people.
Yeah.
I know that's what, you know, Jesus was doing, and all the enlightened prophets and disciples that have come along, and even in today's day and age, you know, I think we need to learn as much as we can and emulate and do what Jesus taught. I mean, he did say that greater works than these shall ye do, and I go unto my Father. And I take that seriously. And there's been many, many, like you said, your friend just had a miraculous healing. Well, I think that there is a science and a knowledge behind that healing that brought it about. And this woman studied for years on, well, how did this happen? The woman I was referring to, Mary Baker Eddy, she, I think she was raised, I forget which religion, but Protestant, perhaps. And she had fallen on a patch of ice, black ice, and fell.
No,
and back in those days, the very limited medical modalities that they could have used on her, and they told her, they're sorry, there's nothing we can do, you're going to die. And she said, get out of my room, give me my Bible. And they did, and she opened it up into the account of where Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. And she recalls how her consciousness was just filled with the truth about how life, truth, and love, the three of those together, constitute all being. And she goes into great detail about this realization.
Great.
And then she's like, yes.
Well, let's go ahead and close it out. You have 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, we can talk about it more, but her miraculous healing led her to write a book, and she went into seclusion for about 4 years to figure out the truth behind what had happened to her. And so it was her wanting to get that message out. It still is continuing today that, you know, I just, if I could help one person, like I said, it would be, that would be enough for me. But anyway.
And we will see you next week on PTH with Corrine. Corrine, thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Thank you. Bye now.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
To all.
I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Brenda DiGiovanni, and I am proud and happy to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio, and this is The Advocate with Susan Shingazar. Go ahead, Susan, take it away.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to The Advocate. This is Susan Shingazar. I am the author of Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide, My Story Navigating Through Domestic Violence, Sexual Abuse, and I Didn't Quit and He Didn't Win. I'm here to empower you as a victorious woman. I'm committed to empowering all of you with my story and stories from others who I bring on the show to let you know that you are not alone in this fight against domestic violence, sexual abuse, sexual predators, any forms of abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, mental. I just want you to know that your destiny is at stake, and we have dedicated our lives as women empowering others to make sure that you make it through with someone holding your hand, whether it's an angel we send down from heaven to comfort you when you're alone in your room crying out to God. We will do that for you because that's how committed we are. And today I was looking on Crime Survivors Post about 2 hours ago. They reported that 11% of ER nurses reported both physical and verbal abuse over a seven-day period. And 1% reported physical abuse alone, while 43% reported verbal abuse alone. Now, I'm an ER nurse, and abuse is not tolerated. Sometimes patients abuse us, and if they're in their right mind, shame on you. If they're not in their right mind, we let it go because they're not able to be in control of their faculties. A lot of times people think that, well, she made me hit her, or he made me hit her, or vice versa, or I said that because she made me mad or he made me mad. It's not tolerated. We all have the responsibility to be in control of our actions, physical and verbal, our tongue. And so I shared that post with you because it was surprising to me that that many nurses had reported that. But I just wanted to put a phone number out there to anybody who's listening. Last week we were talking about lawyers and compensation and different things. And so I do have the Victims Compensation Program phone number for you. Excuse me. And that is 1-800-777-9229. And that's for people who've had finances depleted because of a violent situation that they were in. And so call in and get some information about how you can recoup some of that or get some help. And so I wanted to throw that number out to you. Today we have an amazing woman that we're bringing on the show. Her name is Tess Cacciatore. She is the co-founder of GWEN, which is Global Women Empowerment Network. I met GWEN, I believe it was in May of 2012, and I actually came on and did a little segment with her telling my story. And she is has this huge network of women and men that she empowers with her network and what she's doing. And so I want to bring on Tess to tell more about what she does because she can say it easily. And so, Tess, would you come on and tell us about what you do and your mission?
Oh, you're so sweet, Susie. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to see you and to hear your voice as well. You're always just a bright light in my life.
Oh, I love what you do, Tess. And I was listening on your show Saturday, and you were talking about human trafficking, and it was just so dear to my heart, the women who came out of that and their stories. I admire your courage to be this trailblazer and bring all this stuff into the forefront.
Well, we're really fortunate because we get to be the conduit of people coming to tell their stories, because through that process, people get to know that they're not alone, and people get to realize that through telling their story, they get healed. And we get to come together as community with, you know, the sisters and brothers together. You know, we're Global Women's Empowerment Network, but I always have to preface pretty early on in any interview that we cannot do it without the men involved, because the men have been abused and the men have had a lot of things that happened in their life. And we just really need to be able to take both sides of the story and really get down to business in healing.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times in domestic violence, there's a house full of kids, male, female. And I know I grew up with four brothers, and I had another sister. And we were all abused children in a household with parents that were abusing each other.
That's what I'm talking about, though. So isn't it interesting, because your brothers or brothers in homes of domestic violence, they see no difference. They don't know how to respect the woman. They don't know how to respect themselves. There's a lack of self-esteem because they're being abused. And sometimes that turns into a cycle where they go to school and they become either abusers and they become the bullies in the school, or they perpetuate the cycle of people abusing them. So did you have an experience, I'm curious, of any of your brothers growing up, and did they transform and do all the work that you're doing, or were they, did they perpetuate the cycle?
I guess I have one brother who died from alcohol abuse. That would be because he didn't know how to navigate through his life, and he internalized it and drank. And sadly, the programs were not available back then as they are now. And I would say that I'm the trailblazer in my family. I'm the one who been out there and not ashamed to speak up and say, this isn't right. I remember my dad slapping me across the face. I was 15, and I stood up to him for the first time and said, you're not going to do that to me again. And I called the police, and they told him, you cannot do this. You cannot hit your daughter. She's a big girl now. And he, for the first time, looked at me like, yeah, I can't do this. And I ran away that day and never came back as far as living in the house. I was on my own at age 15 because I did not want to be abused anymore. I didn't want to be the one in the family who jumped on my dad's back all the time, saving mom or listening to him say things to my mom when he got drunk.
Do you know if was your father coming from a household that had a lot of domestic violence?
Well, I write in my story about my dad. He was, I think he was 8 or 9 years old, and he was like playing in the neighborhood, and he gets attacked by a man and sexually assaulted, sodomized, and he stabs the man. He doesn't kill the man, but he stabs him, and he ends up being put in like a military school and taken away from his mom. So he had that bitterness of losing his mom at a young age, and the assault that happened to him and not knowing what to do with his anger. So he took it out on us. He's from Istanbul, Turkey, and so he was very verbally abusive with his mouth. And so listening to that all the time, we just would shudder. And when he got drunk, it was worse.
I can imagine. I thank God didn't grow up in a household with anyone that had any alcohol or drug abuse, especially alcohol abuse. So that's a really hard one to manage. But I just think it's important to really dive between the lines and look and see where the line starts, where the lineage begins, because then we can trace back and hopefully heal. And having people like you in a family that stands up against your father and says no more, that's what Gwen is about. You had said, and Gwen is many things, but one of the things we really want to instill is that if you've been through abuse, how can you get through that? How can you get to the other side and really get to the place where you can heal? And once you're over there, what tools can you get to have empowerment? And that's what Gwen does. We provide empowerment tools and curriculum and product lines that will instill
ways to be able to do practical steps to get into healing and regain your self-esteem. So we have our teleseminar series called Gwen Talks. We have our our Tell Us Your Story campaign, which is really important because it allows for people to express themselves. It's a cloud-based editing system on our website at gwennetwork.org. And all you do is click on the button and sign up, and a video screen pops up. And you can just talk into your computer, and you don't have to put it live until you feel comfortable with it, which is really great. It's in the comfort of your own home. You get to edit the pieces out where you're not happy with how you delivered the story. You can put music to it. You can put titles. You can put anything you want to in that video. And we're getting a really good response. We're just officially launching this week. We had some technical difficulties because that's the challenge that comes with technology. But we have, wonderful, amazing stories along with PSAs and other stories like yours. It was such a pleasure to work with you this past summer to put your story on videotape. We're going to be editing that soon so we can be able to promote what you're doing with your product lines and your books that you're doing, and your personal story is so inspiring.
And another level that we want to. How many stories are you going to do, Tess?
Well, this is an ongoing thing. We want our stories to be one of the foundation cornerstones of Gwen. So we have the Tell Us Your Story campaign, which invites people from all over the world to be able to upload their story and tell their story. Then we have the professionally shot Hollywood film crew PSAs that we did with you, which is going to be part of our documentary series. So with the Tell Us Your Story campaign that's up right now, it's going to go till March 8th, 2013 for this phase one. And March 8th, just as a side note, happens to be International Women's Day. So it's a great marker for closing the campaign down and turning it over to the public to vote, because by then we'll decide who our finalists are. And once the finalists are voted upon and we take a little bit more of a review time, then there's going to be some people that are chosen that will be filmed by our professional Hollywood crew, much like what you had done last summer, and it'll be part of our documentary series.
Oh, that is exciting for those people who've never shared their story.
I think it's really important because you could do it in the privacy of your own home. If you don't have a camera on your computer, you could do it with any kind of camera device, even if it's on your smartphone. It doesn't have to be slick. It doesn't have to be anything that's fancy. It just is about expression. It's about really getting behind your story and getting it out there, because I think through that self-expression, you're going to find out there's a lot of people that have similar things going on. In fact, I just got an instant message this morning from a guy that I grew up with in high school in Des Moines, Iowa, and he shared something very vulnerable with me that he's willing to start to share, and he's going to put his story up there soon, I hope. And he was telling me about his life living in a marriage for close to 20 years where he didn't realize that he was verbally and financially being abused. And that's one of the conversations with regard to men that we get to discover, is that sometimes the nuances of abuse, whether you're a man or a woman or a child, are so discreet that you don't know that you are slowly, slowly, slowly losing your identity and your self-worth and your self-esteem. And that's where we get triggered. That's where people can see our vulnerable side, and those who are abusers or attackers can come in. I know you've experienced it. I've experienced it. Those are the weak links that people look for, that they can crack the code, they can crack that chain, and they can come in and really do a lot of serious damage, because the more subtle abuses are harder to determine. When someone crosses that line and they slap you like your father did when you were 16, and you stood up to him and said no more, that's an easier marker to see. But what about if we just talk about just the subtle nuances, how we're programmed from an early age, how we are listening to our parents, our teachers, our siblings, our peers at school, anybody in the community, they start to tell you you're lazy, you're fat, you're stupid, you're this, any of those little tiny, tiny negative nuances that start to sink into our subconscious are heard louder than the 50-plus compliments you get. For some reason in the human being psyche, I don't know what it is,
we tend to lean towards the negative a little bit faster and easier for whatever reason. And that cracks the shell. And luckily, but surely, I think that people start to get more vulnerable and lose their identity and lose their self-worth. And they're invite the abusers to come in.
Exactly. I agree with that. I know growing up, I would hold my head down because I was always wondering and looking at people going, do they feel the same way I do? I always was curious about what was in everybody else's head because I had a head so full of stuff that I didn't know what to do with, you know, having been molested and kept that secret, so I couldn't talk about that, and I couldn't talk about my dad abusing my mom because I was ashamed, didn't want anybody to know, and I didn't want to talk to anybody about what I was feeling, and it was a scary place to be. So I would climb up into my head and just sit there and just stare off at the ground or wherever I was focused. And now when I hear people's stories, they say the same thing. They had a little secret box they would climb into in their mind, or they would go into the closet and just sit there with the door shut because it was easier to be in the dark. And now with their voice being able to speak about things that they were never able to tell anyone, it's like the weight lifted off of them. And a lot of times that weight is what keeps your head down, where you're not able to walk into a room with your head held high like everybody else.
What was it, I'm curious, Susie, that was that breaking point that when you were 16 and your father came and slapped you in the face, what was that that caused you to stand up? Were you surprised that you did that? Were you planning on it? What was it that caused you to do that? It's so amazing.
It was, I was 15. It was a series of events that happened. I had been so many things. It was right after an incident where I had almost lost my life in human trafficking. And I had just come back from that and a series of different things. And someone had come over to the house and was going to give me a ride to a friend's house. And it was my friend's uncle who came to pick me up, and my father thought that I was going to do something with the guy because being from the old country, they just like assume. And so I was tired of him putting that on me, you know, and just assuming that I was that way or something. And he had gotten an argument with this guy, and the guy's trying to say, look, I just came to give her a ride, you know, and he takes off, and I was talking to my father, trying to explain myself, and he just hits me. And I was like, I'm done. I was just like, this indignation came in me, and it was like I almost was going to punch my dad. That's how much anger I got inside of me, and I just said no, and I grabbed the phone and called the police. But I decided that at that point, since he had started, you know, hitting me in the face, before it was always below the waist, I was not coming back. I decided I don't want to live like this, and I will go live in a friend's house on the street or anywhere else. And so I left.
What inspiration that is, that you had that snap to protect yourself, and how fortunate you had a place to go to in a way. I think this is where we have another crack in our system, that teens or children get to the point where they are tired of the abuse and they leave and they run away, and then all of a sudden they're vulnerable on those streets, and that is instant prey for the people that take them into sex trafficking or prostitution or drugs, and it's a slippery slope at that point. And I hear story after story of young girls that have gone into this, and young boys, of course, too, that are lost within the foster care system or they run away. So I know you had your own personal journey with regard to that, and thank God you've survived that and come out of it and have written books and are such an inspiration to so many people. And hopefully young people will be listening to your story so they know that they can stand up, and hopefully they have a safe place to go. What happened when you left and you ended up on the streets for a while, or you ended up, when you ran away, where did you go and what happened to you?
Well, we have about 5 minutes before we're going to take a station break, but I moved into a girlfriend's house who was 20 years old. I'd met her at the car wash where I worked, and I moved in with her, and what ends up happening is I moved in with her, and she had a boyfriend, so I move out of there, go live with this lady who has is a Hell's Angel, and she has friends over that are Hell's Angels, and I rent a room for $20 a week. Back then, that was a lot of money, especially when you're 15. And it sounds like cheap right now, but it was a lot of money. But they had so much drugs in the house, and all kinds of stuff would go on there. And thank God that they were all afraid to touch me because they knew that they would go to jail. And I have to say, for being Hell's Angels, they respected me because nobody wanted to go to jail over touching a 15-year-old. And so I was a little bit protected under their wing, but at the same time so vulnerable because of the stuff I had never seen in my life that they showed me. Sex, all kinds of openly doing things that I was like never, I was shocked. So my eyes were open to so many things I never would have saw had I stayed at home and been under the care of my own family. So fortunately, I had a good foundation as far as right from wrong, so I knew, you know, what to stay away from, but it was very scary. I went on motorcycle rides with these people and did stuff, and then I ended up leaving there and going to back to my friend's house. I lived with her for a little bit, and she, you know, and I got into a little disagreement, and I go into a hotel to live down the street from where I worked, and I get abused by a man who breaks in my hotel room, who rapes me and tries to kill me. And that incident was actually so traumatic that it stayed with me until I was 29 years old and ended up finally getting therapy because of what happened to me that night in the hotel. And so I was vulnerable. And that's why I said on your show, if there was a weirdo out there, I thought they were going to find me. Because literally, even when I tried to do the right thing by getting my own place, stuff would find me. And it was not my fault. This guy had a pass key to the room, and he came into my room in the middle of the night, and I woke up with him in my bed and was a victim. And it was horrific. And the police officers back then, the next day when I had to tell them what happened and everything, they didn't bring a woman in to talk with me. So I was embarrassed and humiliated because they were laughing. And I didn't know how to navigate through that. And they asked me, he didn't rape you, did you? Did he? And I said, no, because I was so scared to say that he did because it was them were laughing. And I know today they wouldn't treat it that way, which is why I became an advocate and a SART nurse, because I was never going to let another woman feel the humiliation that I had that day. It was so humiliating that I can't even explain, because what happened to me, and then I had to shut it down and hold it inside for years. I finally went to the DA 1997. And I sat with the same district attorney, and I told him why I didn't say that he raped me. And the man has never been caught because he jumped bail, but they did put the crime down as they added rape to it, because before it was attempted rape and attempted murder. So I was finally able to let that voice out, and now it doesn't bother me anymore.
That's wonderful. I know you have to take a station break, but I look forward to continuing the conversation. There's so much to talk about and so many solutions that we can hopefully provide through Gwen.
Yes. We'll be right back with Soul Sister Radio and The Advocate.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Welcome back to
Soul
Advocate
Sister Radio.
Welcome back to the Advocate. Gwen, are you there?
I am here.
So, Gwen, I'm saying Gwen. I so apologize.
I didn't want to correct you. I don't mind it at all. It's very sweet.
I always see Gwen when I see you. Tess, you had a lot of men in your studio today that we did the little segment with me, and I sat listening to one of the guys talking
Soul
to me about the
radio.
That's so funny. I had one of the guys telling myself and another woman who was with me about his mom and her boyfriend when he was younger, and how the boyfriend would abuse them, him and his brother, when mom wasn't home, and how they would tell her, and then she would not, you know, believe him, and then it took forever for mom to leave the boyfriend. And I know so many people have said stuff like this about, you know, well, I have this wonderful boyfriend, he loves my kids, and then you find out he really didn't love the kids, he was abusing them while you were gone.
Yes, and it's something that hopefully through the programming of Gwen and having stories be revealed, that women out there might get a glimpse of looking at themselves in the mirror for this. I know it up close and personal because I've had best friends that I've grown up with that have exposed stories to me over the last year or so once they've known what I've been doing. And I was shocked at the stories that they told me, because their mother had gone through their own cycle of abuse and having self-esteem, and she was on her second or third husband, and, you know, these type of, you know, relationships and situations. Someone might be on their second or third relationship, or it's a stepfather or a boyfriend situation, like the young man that you're talking about. I know who you're talking about in that story. And what's really sad about it is that the women are so lost in their own self-esteem that they feel that it's more important to have the quote, love of a man rather than taking care of their children. And I've heard these stories over and over again, where even in my own backyard, there was a neighbor that was sexually molesting two of the girls in my neighborhood. And thank God I had never run across that with this person or this family. But even the wife of the man that was molesting, I believe, turned her back. So we really need to step up as a community and as sisters, being the name of your show is Soul Sister, and really take a look, a strong, hard look in the mirror, and find out what can we do in our lives to protect ourselves and protect our children, especially. They're innocent. They are horrible victims of this situation. So what can we do? And hopefully through our Gwen Talks, our television series, our programs and curriculum, and our partnerships that we're building with people like you and organizations such as Safe Passage, can we come together as a community and really start to face these issues in an intimate and aggressive way, so we can be able to break the cycle and really get through to finding out what can we do to empower these women or empower these men so that cycle gets stopped.
Absolutely. And I know as a nurse in the ER, I see both men and women, children, adults alike. And, you know, you notice an abused victim, they carry that with them, and you just recognize it. Once you've been there, you recognize it, and you reach out to them if you're a caring person like all of us are. And it's a collaboration of everybody joining together, you know, in the medical industry, you're a mandatory reporter, so you have to report it. And as a minister, I'm there to hold their hand and pray with them and give them, you know, tools that I have and resources. But when you're not in the forefront line like I am in the medical, and we're in a group like, you know, Gwen and Safe Passage and all these other organizations. It is a you know, sisterhood of holding hands across the world, and that's why I see you're global, because it doesn't just stay in LA, it goes all over, and that's what your radio show does, and that's what this one is endeavoring to do, because I didn't go through the fire in so many areas of abuse to keep what I learned about it to myself, because there's no benefit. And I'm not going to be the one who's just on medication saying, oh, I'm so abused and I had this happen and had this happen. And it's like, well, you know, really, how's that working for you? You have to let go of it and move on in your life. And some people are stuck, and I want to help them get unstuck, because I know what it's like to be a little girl and have grandpa put his hands in my underwear. And it's not right. It was not acceptable then. It's not acceptable now. And that kind of stuff has to stop. But I know, especially in the Hispanic community, I see it a lot. And it's I have a friend who had 9 brothers and sisters, and her brothers, she had sex with her brothers, and her dad knew it was happening. And when she told me her story, I just wanted to die, because to think of my brother or my father with me would be very bad. And I know a lot of people have had that happen to them. And it goes on everywhere, not just Hispanic community, but I've heard a lot, because the communities of a lot of family members living in one household is enormous. And I think overcrowding and poverty and people having lack of privacy, their boundaries are often broken. And I think
Yeah, I'm starting to hear that more and more, that people are coming out and telling the stories. There's some friends of mine that are doing a show. It's a one-woman show, and it's a one-man show. And they have an hour each back-to-back on the stage, and they share their story of the guy was pretty much molested by his babysitter, and so was the sister. And they didn't know how the lines were crossed. And throughout their young age into perhaps teen, I don't know when it started and when it stopped for sure, but they got those lines confused, and incest began. And looking in retrospect back to their lives, they've come through a whole healing process, and he's had the courage to step through and tell his story on a one-man show, and hopefully that will share the light with people. I think that's the biggest thing, is telling our story, getting it out there, and shouting it from the mountaintops, because when we start to share the stories, we find the common ground, and when we find the common ground, we know that we're not alone, and therefore we can hopefully change the things that are going on.
Absolutely, and for those who have never shared their story, when they hear other people share, they feel a sense of relief that they were not alone, that not that you want it to happen to somebody else, but you have these internal things that go on that makes you feel isolated. And so when you do hear other people, you feel liberated that it's okay to say something, and it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to get help, and it's okay to ask for help, and that you weren't dysfunctional all on your own, that it just didn't, you weren't born that way. It's something that happened and helped you fall into that. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think they're just going to be that way the rest of their lives.
And there's so many ways to get help. I mean, to have the Safe Passage organization to help women coming out of their abusive situations and be rehabilitated, and, you know, the dental work and all the things that you guys do is amazing. I'm really excited and proud of the curriculum and technologies that we're using to do the things that we're doing in our community. We could take 12 hours just naming organization after organization. So you throw a stone out there and you can find anything out there to help you, just to get out there and tell your story. If you choose to come on GwenNetwork.org, you get to tell your story, and we get to provide a place where we get to promote other organizations such as yours and your books and product lines onto our shopping cart, which is launching soon, by the way. I'm so excited. I'm just talking to our developer today. So hopefully by February, we'll be up and running with a wonderful shopping cart that will have your book and all kinds of different ways that we can help empower people out there.
Tess, you have an app that you have for Gwen. Do you want to talk about that app?
It's so funny you said that because it popped into my mind about 30 seconds ago. So you must be reading my mind. The telepathic Susie you are. Yes, we have an app called Gwen Alert. And basically the premise of it is to be able to upload 5 of your closest friends and family into the phone app. And you just do it simply by pushing the button in the app, and you could scroll through your contact list and it uploads your contact. And it sends a text message to them saying, "Hi, you've been invited into my Gwen 5. And you can check us out at gwennetwork.org. And if I'm ever in an emergency, this is a way that you can reach out to help me or assist me." And it gives a GPS location. So it sets it up where your Gwen 5 are alerted that you are in the trusted circle. And if you're ever in a situation where you feel uncomfortable or if you're in danger, we've heard stories and feedback already where there's been a woman that had a discussion that escalated into a fight, and she thought her husband was going to be violent with her again, and she pushed the Gwen alert. We have a story of a young girl who was held up after school because her parents got mixed up on who was picking up the daughter, and she got nervous with the types of people that were around the school, which is very, very wise of her at age of 10, and she pushed the Gwen alert, and 3 of the 5 people came to the school, including her mom. We have success story after success story in ways that this alert, I believe, is going to help people in many, many ways and perhaps potentially save lives. It's not a 911 situation. You know, it doesn't replace the police emergency or medical emergency situations, but it is a way to keep your close Gwen 5 in tandem with whatever's going on in your life. If your car breaks down, if you're online dating, if you're a senior citizen, you're on campus at a college, numerous examples of where this happens to be helpful. Inside the Gwen Alert, we also have a music channel, we have inspirational quotes, and we have a link to our website and all kinds of fun buttons. And the fun news is that we are launching the Droid version very shortly. We're in the testing process right now. So, again, by February, we should be up and running with the Droid version. So those of you that have iPhones, you can go to your App Store, and it's totally free. And you go and put Gwen Alert, and make sure you put the word alert in there. Otherwise, you get Gwen Stefani, which is a wonderful app as well. But ours is Gwen Alert, and as I said, it's free to download, and soon we'll be on the Droid.
Tess, when did you actually start Gwen?
Well, it's a great question. The short answer is just previously in late February of 2012. And I had the wonderful fortune of meeting a man by the name of Michael Littenberg, who our paths crossed in December of 2011. And it was wonderful, blessed, serendipity kind of joining of forces where I came to a set where he was filming a commercial for these T-shirt line that he created called A Call to the Women, which was a product line that spawned from a song that he had written called A Call to the Women. And I happened to bring one of the fabulous women to the shoot, and I said, "Oh my gosh, what are these people doing?" And I went up to him and I said, "I have 20 plus years in technology and media and philanthropy and nonprofit, and I love what you're doing, and I don't know what you're doing, but I'd like to help out any way I can." So that was December of 2011. So in January of 2012, we got together, had a meeting, and it's been a fast track ever since. So it's been, he's the co-founder of Gwen and the CEO and a wonderful partner in business and in just amazing man and a big angel in my life. And through that, I mean, you've met Michael on the set and everything. He's just an angel.
You know, I actually was talking to a PR person, I believe it was day before yesterday, And it turns out that you were just talking to this person before I talked to him, and I had never met him before. And he says, I was just talking to Tess, and she knows you.
Oh, you must be talking about Steve Allen.
Yes. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. It was just too cute. And so the thing is that, you know, your message is going all over the world global. And, you know, with Safe Passage and what Trish Steele is doing, going all over. And it is fun meeting people who say they know somebody that you know and that we're all collaborating together. And it's such a powerful force, this, you know, empowerment network of men and women, all for the good of God's people. And so I just am so proud of you, and I'm so honored to have you in my circle of friends. And it is just a relationship I believe that will be ongoing for years. And we both have the same similar passions, and I'm just can't say enough about what you guys are doing. And
back at you, sister. I do want to say, you know, what's really important for me, because I ran a nonprofit organization for about 20 years called World Trust Foundation, and my main focus was women and children, and particularly empowerment of young people and young leaders and earth heroes and all kinds of wonderful things that I had the opportunity to create and work with. And so the youth component is very, very important to me. And it just so happens that a jewelry designer designed a Gwen bracelet for us that we were selling at the women's conference this past September. And it's going to be on our shopping cart, so keep an eye out for that, because they're beautiful. But the daughter to the woman who designed the jewelry got interested in what her mother was doing. And if you can imagine, in the fall, when football parties are going on and all kinds of school activities are happening, it would be a weekend night, and four or five of the teenage daughters were over helping this woman, Tiffany, design, or not design, but put the beadings together and the braiding of the ropes that tied the amethyst and the other gems together. And they got so interested in Gwen that on their own, they went to their school, and two of them approached their school, which is Notre Dame High, and they became the Gwen Club. So now we have our first Gwen Club in high school. And I just met with them yesterday, and their rollout of what's going to happen in 2013 within the high schools and colleges, and hopefully the high school students will mentor the elementary students and so forth. It's so exciting that I can't even begin to tell you. And this is all self-perpetuated by the youth, and I just help guide and mentor them and kind of give them the tools to go down the path, but I want it to be totally driven by the empowerment of these young minds and the passion of where they want to go with this, and really spreading the word of school bullying and domestic violence, and really knowing how to stand up and stand up for themselves, just much like what you did when you were 16 against your father. So we'll have a lot of news to report with regard to that and so much more. And I reflect back to you too. It's such a pleasure to work with you and Trish and all what you're doing. It's really amazing.
We're going to be signing off here shortly. If you want to give our listeners the phone number for your, do you have a seminar Saturday or that people can call in and listen on?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but if you go to gwennetwork.org, you'll be able to find our teleseminar series, and you can click on, this week is Betsy Chassie, who happens to be a producer, director, author, and public speaker. And if you know the documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know, she was the co-creator and producer of that, and she has a book called Metanoia out, and it's a book of essays. And we're going to be discussing the issues of what do you do when you come out of a life-changing event, and how do you regain your self-esteem. So it's going to be a really important topic. Betsy is amazing. You can call in. We'll open up the lines at the end of the hour and be able to have an interactive, intimate conversation, just like we had last week where we had the sex trafficking and human trafficking girls sharing their story, and you shared so beautifully as well, Susie, so I thank you for that. But if you go to gwennetwork.org, there's two N's in the middle of that, so G-W-E-N, the word network.org, you'll find out all the information. And if you feel compelled to tell your story, click on that box that says tell us your story, register, and it's a cloud-based editing system, and share, because it's all about sharing your story and empowering and inspiring others.
Thank you so much, Tess, for coming on the show, and I look forward to collaborating with you in the future. I just want to thank you again, and we'll see you Saturday on your show.
I love it. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Thank you again.
Thank you. And those for you that are listening, I just want to tell you about our amazing sponsors who have come together to make this show available to you. We have Soul Sister Radio sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, who for $60, you can get her little glass heart. And it's an amazing heart that has a beautiful ribbon, and you can have a choice of ribbons. And then we have B&B Builders Remodeling, Spa Gems and Dama for a Cause, Deborah Osborne with Parkway Estate Properties. And these are sponsors for this amazing radio show that we bring to you each week at 5 o'clock on Thursdays. And I just want to let you know that we have four ministries, and I am a future ambassador for four ministries. We'll also be having a heart for nurses and a heart for domestic abuse coming out shortly that we will be having a link to on this radio station. And I just want you to know that hope spelled backwards is every prayer opens heaven. I wanted to read to you guys something that I was reading earlier today, and it's in Our Daily Bread. A prisoner who survived 14 years in a Cuban jail told how he kept his spirits up and his hope alive. I had no window in my cell, and so mentally I constructed one on the door. I saw in my mind this beautiful scene from mountains with water tumbling down a ravine over rocks. It became so real to me that I would visualize it without effort every time I looked at the cell door. Ironically, some of the most powerful books in the Bible, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, come out of Paul's house arrest in Rome. The letter to the Ephesians gives us a hint of what the Apostle Paul saw when he, throughout his life, beyond the place of confinement. First, he saw the spiritual growth in the churches he left behind. This book opens with a burst of thanksgiving, the vitality of the Ephesian church. Then he sought to open the eyes of the hearts to even more exalted sights, the exceeding riches of God's grace. When Paul cranks up the volume to express God's plan of love, not one low, mournful note sneaks in. If you feel discouraged or question whether the Christian life is worth it, Ephesians proves to be a great tonic. It prescribes the riches in Christ available to all. Philip Yancey. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the staggering good news of the riches of your infinite grace. Thank you for the encouragement and hope we find in Ephesians. And I thank all of you for listening to our show each week. And I thank you for letting us share on a topic that is so misunderstood, so misperceived, and so not what everybody wants to hear. Because it's very hard to talk about abuse, and it's very hard for people to come out with their own story. And I just want you to know that even though I talk freely about my story, it's not minimizing the pain I went through by any means or saying that it's easy. It took me years to become who I am today. And on the cover of my book, I say it's a true uncut, off-the-grid story of emotional, physical, domestic, and sexual abuse. I'm a survivor, and I had so many betrayals in my life and so many triumphs and so many near-death experiences that every time I shared my story with someone, they encouraged me to write a book. And I knew my whole life I was going to write this book. And so it's not that I'm bragging. It's not that I have the corner market on abuse or anything like that. But I do have 53 years of knowing what it's like to be somebody like me who experienced so many different things. And at the same time, I work in the emergency room where I see abuse. I see your body in so many different tormented positions from physical abuse and trauma that I have a little bit of knowledge about a lot of things. And so as a expert in abuse, I will call myself that. I challenge you who are sitting in the audience listening and you have a story to go to Gwen, and if you're out of the abuse and you need restoration, by all means, get on the internet and look at safepassagelives.org or look them up and come in for an appointment and get some restoration. If anybody needs prayer at any time, call in to this line and leave us a message, and we will call you back. I promise you that. So I just want to say thank you to our sponsors. Thank you for Maria DiGiovanni, who is always amazing as a producer and putting together all these shows. And I thank you for all the people who come on the shows to share your story, your encouragement to the world, and your expertise, whether it be as a counselor, a lawyer, a therapist, a minister, or in an organization, a charity. I want you to know that you're welcome here and you have a voice here. So I just thank you, and we look forward to next week on our show, where we'll have a paramedic from Iowa come on the show, and we'll talk more about what she knows and has gone through herself. So this is Soul Sister Radio with Susan Shengezar, the advocate. Look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye now.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.